summer. 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, the Todd Alma Show on 540 AM.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This is
a good recording,
man.
Yeah, brother, like
solid.
Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing well. Looks like it's going to be sunnier today.
Yeah, not only that, man, it's, you know, perfect, man. It's you know, it was really nice and breezy yesterday. Absolutely. Missing the sun, but the weather was perfect. Got a lot to talk about this morning. I want to get right at it. I want to welcome back my guest, Mr. Matthew Stafford. Good morning to you, young man. How you doing?
Good morning.
All right, you got to talk up a little more. Bring the microphone a little closer to you.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me back.
All right, so this is not the Matthew Stafford that quarterbacks the L.A. Raiders, Rams.
No, I am not.
No, okay. And you are the founder of Vincent James Mentoring. Let's talk a little bit about Vincent James Mentoring for those who may not have listened to you the first time around.
Vincent James Mentoring, and thank you again. Vincent James Mentoring is a teen mentoring youth outreach with a focus on families that I've developed. I'm not 40 yet, but I have. When I turn 40, I'll have 25 years of experience in nonprofit work. So this nonprofit that I created is a total custom outreach to teens and their families and to service their lives.
So hold on. So you have 25 years experience in nonprofit. You're not quite yet 40. What experience did you have in nonprofit at 15?
So when I was 15, I was the client. Without the nonprofit that I was involved in, the teen center, Dean Culver saved my life with a hug. So without the teen center and then becoming the volunteer, the staff member, and then eventually starting my own over the years.
So for people who are really, you know, many people are at loss for what's happening in this society. You're here in Waukesha. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's going on with teens.
So teens, they're not being shown what they're capable of. So they're pretty much parenting themselves. We have a generation of teens that don't really have a guiding hand on their lives. So what Vincent James Mentoring is to do is to service the social system, the schools, the other nonprofits, the churches within Waukesha County to help families that need a little bit of assistance, and the teens that frankly have no good path to go forward, to show a little light and to give them confidence in themselves.
So why are you saying teens don't have any light forward? Is it the fact that adults have lost their way in understanding teens, or the fact that teens and technology has kind of move them away from their parents?
Well, it's also the family structure. You know, not enough family structure, you know, traditional families, you know, with mom and dad, you know, or a strong parent figure in their life, or the respect they have to their grandparents. It without a strong family structure for their self, they won't know where they're supposed to go if they don't understand what their family was built upon.
So, you know, people say peer pressure is, you know, as difficult as it's ever been. Peer pressure has been around since, I guess, the onset of mankind. What's the difference with peer pressure with young people today than it was when you were a young boy?
Well, gosh, everything's at your fingertips. You know, I mean, look at heroin here in Waukesha, in fentanyl, and well, you know, all that stuff here. I mean, if you want to go buy some drugs, you buy drugs over your phone. You're not doing it in person no more. I mean, my gosh, there's so much that technology can assist in someone's life, but technology is also bringing people away, you know, in splitting relationships too.
So, you know, I talked a little bit yesterday towards the end of the show about fentanyl. I'm certainly going to talk about it today because, you know, it just is the 400-pound, 800-pound gorilla that is not going away. And whether people want to talk about it or not, it's immaterial. It has to be talked about. But you are talking about this particular facility that you are working on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the facility.
So my outreach is at 307 East Main Street. Well, right now I'm...
Which is around the corner from here.
Yeah. It's a beautiful piece of property, too. It was built in 1877. Dr. Moore built it as a homeopathic hospital to serve Waukesha County. And I'm putting a custom counseling center in the building. So what we're doing is bringing that building back to life, giving it a new purpose, and being available to everyone that needs some service, that needs help. So counseling, showing them, you know, a family structure, showing them how to believe in themselves. Kids, you know, the ones that are poor and the families that are in lower middle class, you know, without proper, you know, jobs, or, you know, they're always fighting to pay their bills. There's always going to be strife in their life. So what we want to do is show them how to manage better and, you know, for their situation. And if there's any opportunities that we can give them to serve for their life, you know, all together.
So let me ask you, that's an enormous project.
Mm-hmm.
That requires enormous sums of money.
Right.
How is that working?
Well, I've been funding it mostly myself. I work a day job, and then I do that, you know. Some people are donating. We did get a very nice donation a couple weeks ago, but we are doing fundraisers as well. You know, to set up our counseling center and our network, it's going to take quite a bit. So on September 16th at 307 East Main Street, we're going to have a live auction for naming rights in the building, you know, for each room. So it's a nice little fundraiser that we're doing. But what we're also doing is a networking day there as well, where other churches or nonprofits or businesses can come together and say, well, we see the need to help with young teens that need jobs, or families that, or moms or dads that need jobs, and, you know, to come together and network for that as well.
So there are people who are listening who may not even be aware, who live in Waukesha, who don't live in Waukesha, who may not even know that the need is there, because they hear that, you know, Milwaukee, this is going on in Milwaukee. But you're here to say that these are issues in Waukesha as well.
Well, to be honest, Milwaukee is such a big city. And with all of the things that go on with Milwaukee, it spills over in the different counties. We have a drug problem in Waukesha that is laughable. It's so embarrassing that our drug problem here in Waukesha is almost taking over. A couple months back, my nephew passed away from a drug overdose.
How old was he?
He was 23. So, I mean, this ain't just personal for me. I hold a charge for this. I want to help find the solution to get this, you know, under control.
So for those of you who are just joining, my guest is Mr. Matthew Stafford. He's a return guest. He is the founder of Vincent James Mentoring. He is founded in his heart to work towards trying to address these issues that impact people and communities all over this nation. Let's talk about, there's got to be somebody, because to revamp a building, how many square foot is the building?
It's over 4,000 square feet.
4,000 square foot.
Yes.
And to hire practitioners and people who are professionals in the trade. Mm-hmm. You haven't found one major donor?
I haven't found a major donor just yet, but Fox River Christian Church, where I do attend, and I do attend St. Joseph's as well, there's been a lot of volunteers, a lot of people that can't come and help paint or do some mudding and stuff like that. And that's great, but I need plumbers and electricians.
So let me ask you, you have a nonprofit.
Yes.
You have a board of directors and all those kinds of things and people. Have they been successful in securing resources necessary?
Well, it's hard work when everyone has a day job.
Right.
And we also are doing this, you know, after we're done working. So it's a little bit of a struggle.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. My guest is Matthew Stafford of Vincent James Mentoring. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot, or call us at 262-278-6590.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 75 today under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 46. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, highs level off around 74. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 55
this
degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK. WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK. WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Matthew Stafford. He is the founder of Vincent James Mentoring. So for those who are just joining us, you are really making a major commitment with your life to work with and save young people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in the foster care system from Milwaukee, and I had an amazing family. But when you have 7 deaths in 6 years in your family, and you don't have a good relationship with your biological family either, you lose hope. So what I'm trying to do, and what I, you know, hope to do, is to give a little hope back, and to give a little confidence back, and to teach, you know, kids and families how to have confidence in themselves.
You know, man, we live in a society that really is kind of blind to situations such as yours. Young people growing up lost. Those of us who came from what they call nuclear families,
right,
are so blessed and fortunate to have had that kind of background, that we are so removed from others who don't have that. And we somehow expect as a society that everybody had that, and that we shake our heads when young people go off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't understand how important a nuclear family is. A traditional family is so important for the kids and the father and mother's life, to give them purpose, to give them hope, to give them structure. See, a lot of the issues boil down to structure in one's life. If you don't have the proper structure, and you don't know what you do, and if you don't know where to find the proper structure, you're going to do whatever the heck you want to do.
So people who are successful, many of them fail to understand they didn't get there on their own.
Right.
And that it was somebody who put that structure that you were talking about in their lives, gave them that structure, and they were fortunate that they had that. But far too many people don't have it. And so it's easy to say, look at me, look at how wonderful I am, look at how great I am, look at I've been able to accomplish all of these things because of how great I am. And not, mm-hmm, not understanding that it is because of the stability that you had in your life that gave you the opportunities to do what you're doing.
Absolutely. No one's got anywhere without somebody else helping them to get them to another place. You know, getting a job, a boss or a supervisor has to take a chance on the individual. Even if they're extremely qualified, they still have to take a chance on them. You know, for us, we are trying to show that the social system, you know, the churches, the nonprofits, every aspect of the entities that serve people, we want to take a chance and be able to be their catch-all.
So listen, man, we live in a society that's judgmental. And so it's easy to sit back in our fat chairs, in our leather chairs and our fat cigars, and point the finger at somebody and talk about how big a failure they are. See, look at me. Look at how successful I am. I'm living in a big, fine house. I live in a nice community, a nice neighborhood. And so how come you couldn't do that?
Well, it's hard to do anything if you don't have confidence in yourself, you know, and Vincent James Mentoring, we're here to show you that. You know, when I was a kid and, you know, with my father, even taking me fishing to Pewaukee, it showed in him showing me how to cast a line properly. It wasn't just being there in fishing. It was the relationship I had. So what we're doing also is building the relationship with the individual.
So as a treatment foster parent myself,
mm-hmm,
and my wife, who have taken in a young man that we've now had for 19 years and had him since he was 2 years old, I understand exactly what it is you're talking about.
Right.
And so to make somebody else's life better, I don't care about the money. You know, money, all those other things, you know, is a part of life. But changing somebody's life is something altogether different. If we can get enough people in the society to understand what you are doing is where the value of life is, and where people should be donating money and funds is to a person like you who is, you know, you're not standing there with a bunch of letters behind your name.
No, and I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I'm surprised I even graduated from high school.
It's your heart, man.
Right. Civicmedia.us.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So as you know, people are celebrating the fact that the debt ceiling has been avoided. And look, we were able to get both Democrats and Republicans to work together. Isn't it magnificent? Look at what we've been able to do. You know, there's a gentleman named John Nichols who I am very much enamored with, who really sees things through a great prism, a lot different than most. But he's always on point with his thoughts and with his writings. So in today's The Nation, he wrote this article. There's never a debt ceiling for the military-industrial complex. So while the Biden-McCarthy deal denies food to hungry people, it increases Pentagon spending by tens of billions of dollars. And, you know, I mean, I knew that was the case. You know, many of us knew that was the case. Many of us knew that they were going to be cutting these benefits to people. And as people celebrated, well, make them go to work. You know, 54 years old, stop the handouts. They should be working. We can't afford to keep giving people food. Well, you know, yeah, as a cold-hearted person, a black-hearted person would see it from that perspective. Because you eliminate the elephant in the room that all of us know is the amount of money that our military installation spends. And so we know this. And we know that they spend that money like drunken sailors. And we don't even track where the money goes. We don't know where they spend the money. You know what I mean? I mean, fat cats lighting $100 bills, their cigars with $100 bills. Money disappearing. Nobody opening their mouths, not uttering a mumbling word about the waste in the Pentagon. And, you know, they admit it themselves. We can't balance our budget. We don't know. We don't know where the money goes. They'll tell you that. So we've done some, where they check everything out. You know, I forgot the term that's used for that. Where all the money went.
Audit.
Audits. There you go, Calvin. Thank you. They tried to audit the Pentagon several years ago, and they really made an effort. And they found out, you know, that this was just an impossible task. towards the end of the year, they had billions and billions and billions of unspent dollars. They start buying lobster. The Pentagon. And nobody uttered a mumbling word. The American people, well, no, no problem. But somebody's buying lobsters with food stamps. I saw them. Yeah, I did. I was in the line, and I saw somebody buy lobster. I work every day. I can't afford to buy lobster. You see one person buying lobster in the grocery store with a food stamp. I don't know how true that stuff is, but, you know, you've always heard that. And so you justify not supporting people, not making sure that the American people are fed, but you won't open your mouth about the real waste in this country. And so we know where it is. And so why, you know, President Biden, who had no choice, was pushed against the wall by McCarthy, by Kevin McCarthy, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and others, to cut people away from food. Listen to me. Nobody. Well, not nobody, but not enough people uttered a mumbling word about, hey, cut military first. Cut it. Denying food to hungry people, that's on the table. Regardless of what Americans on the left or right may think about the debt ceiling agreement reached over the Memorial Day weekend by President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, there can be no serious debate. The fact that the deal provides a good sense of what is on and off the table when it comes to budget priorities. Denying food to hungry people, yes, that's on the table. Despite the fact that the Food Research and Action Center says that the expansion of cruel, harsh, and arbitrary time limits on supplemental nutritional assistance programs for older, unemployed, and underemployed adults struggling in the labor market will only deepen hunger and poverty, Democratic and Republican leaders agreed to a plan that limits access to nutritional programs. Balancing budgets on the backs of poor and working class people rather than the rich. Yes, that's on the table. Even after being warned by the House Progressive Caucus Chair that saying to poor people and people who are in need that we don't trust them is a terrible policy, Biden and McCarthy agreed to just such a strategy. They also agreed to cut $1.4 billion intended to help the IRS go after wealthy tax cheats and corporate grifters. Now, this is me talking. What does that say about us? What does that say about you and I? We know this. And if you don't know it, I'm sorry that you don't know it. Doesn't take a lot to find out what is actually taking place in, you know, the home, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, doesn't take much for you to find the truth on what's happening in this country. Shortly, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Fireworks, parades, jubilees. And yet we don't have the courage as a society to fight for what's right. It is not right to give unlimited money to the corporations that take advantage, the military corporations that gouge the American people and the taxpayers, the military-industrial complex that is a behemoth that we don't even know where our tax dollars go. And yet we won't talk about that. We don't have the courage to have that conversation and that dialogue. But poor people getting food stamps, we've got all kinds of opinions from people on that. Lazy people ought to get out and work. At the same time, billions of dollars going to the military-industrial complex, and we don't know where it goes. It's going into the pockets. I know where it's going. It's going into the pockets of these major defense companies that have a blank check. Now, you know, do we require, as a nation, to be safe from, you know, invasion from other nations? Yes, I would be a fool to say that we don't need it. But I'd also be a fool to say we needed it at the excess of what we have now. The Department of Defense's excess spending is an absolute albatross on this country, on you and I, on the futures of our children. And at some point in time, somebody has to have the courage to take it on. So the 2025 defense budget spending would increase to $890 billion. $890 billion. And they can't find where the money goes. Here's a contrast. The amount of money that is spent on the so-called programs, Social Security, Medicare, food and those kinds of things that sustain people in this country does not amount to $890 billion. All combined. So why would it be okay then to continue to spend the money that we spend? How many of you are aware of the fact that our Navy, about 10 years ago, built a fleet of these really quick attack battleships? I don't know how many of them there were. But Calvin, if you can look that up, they built a bunch of really quick battleships about 10 years ago, I think it was, that they have taken out of service already because by the time they built them, they had so many problems with them technically, and they found out that they really did not serve the purpose that they thought they would. They were supposed to be the future fleet of these ships, quick and certainly was going to be the future. All that money, and they've mothballed these ships, and nobody uttered a mumbling word. And then somebody came up with a different plan, a different idea of what it should be. I don't know if you found me, Calvin.
Yeah, I'm seeing one article that says they're retiring 8 ships next year.
Yeah.
That
the newer ships, these were.
Well, it says that they would lose 54 years of service combined from the 8 ships. So what's 54 divided by 8?
Yeah, but these were newer ships.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So yeah.
Yeah, and so they built these ships at this tremendous expense when you go from the drawings all the way through billions and billions, tens of hundreds of billions of dollars, and realize there's one called the Milwaukee, I think it is. It was built in, what's the name of the place where they build the ships in Wisconsin? I can't think of that either. But the point is the same. This kind of money that's being wasted, and nobody utters a mumbling word about that, but feeding people is a big deal. There's something wrong with many of us in this country. We're upset by the wrong things. The things we should be upset by, we're not. And for people who are supposed to be Christian people, it flummoxes me that we, you know, we're so quick to point our finger at these citizens, at these people, at our fellow countrymen, because we don't look at them as if they succeeded. And as I said before, it's not easy to make it in this country. Let's stop acting like it is. Were you able to find out, Calvin?
There is a USS Milwaukee that is in jeopardy being decommissioned. I got to do a little more.
Yeah, okay. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. You can text us that same number. I want to go back and cover a couple stories that I was talked a little bit about yesterday before we go to the break. And so I wanted to talk about this this woman who shot and killed this mother in Florida based on the Stand Your Ground rule. And as more information has come forth, you know, the woman who shot through the door and killed this woman was white. The woman who she killed was black. As if we needed any more of these kinds of incidences that just seem to be piling up more and more in this society. It's getting more and more difficult, and I think more and more dangerous as these kinds of situations just continue to pile up. Again, coming from a different point in this nation's history, to see these things, I think, just leading us down a rabbit hole that is not going to be good. But anyway, going back to what took place, there was a woman who saw a neighbor's children playing outside. She did not like the woman's children playing in the parking lot. She heard the noise. She opened the door, threw a skate at one of the children, hit the child, and apparently, you know, the child went back, told the mom. The mom went, knocked on the door. And clearly, I'm sure it was a little bit more than just a soft knock. I'm sure she was pounding on the door at this woman, white woman, who threw a skate, a roller skate, and hit her child from playing in the lot. The woman who lived in this home, heard the beating on the door, said she was afraid, brought out her gun, shot and killed the woman, tried to use a stand your ground defense. And so the sheriff could not arrest this woman who clearly assassinated this woman because of, you know, parts of this stand your ground law that is in Florida and Texas and other places, a sinister law. Well, it turns out after pressure was applied yesterday, they turned around and arrested this woman who clearly assassinated this mother. No question whatsoever. The chief prosecutor of the state attorney, William Gladson, met with the protesters, urged patience while the investigation continued. And lo and behold, this woman has been charged as she should have been over a week ago with murder of this woman. A Florida woman accused of fatally shooting her neighbor last week in the violent culmination of what the sheriff described as a 2.5-year feud was arrested Tuesday. The Marion County Sheriff's Office said Susan Louise Lornich, 58, who is white, was arrested on charges of manslaughter with a firearm, culpable negligence, battery, and 2 counts of assault in the death of Miss Ajiki Owens, who is black, the sheriff's Billy Woods said in the statement. Authorities came under severe pressure Tuesday to arrest and charge the white woman who fired through her front door and killed a black neighbor. In a case that has put Florida's divisive Stand Your Ground law back into the spotlight, Woods said that this case was not a Stand Your Ground case, but simply a killing. I don't know where the nation, well, I do know where the nation is headed. As long as these types of cases and situations continue and they are rapidly manifesting themselves inside of this nation, let no one be fooled. This continued reckless use of firearms in the killing of innocent people under the guise of I'm protecting myself. I was afraid, unarmed people being mowed down is a recipe for disaster. And we can talk about all the other things that we want to talk about in this country, in our great country. But based on where these types of situations that are magnifying themselves and multiplying themselves at record numbers, we're headed towards a situation that I don't want to see us head to. You know, all of my life, I've heard constant conversations about some point in time there's going to be a race war. If you've lived as long as I have, you've heard it. And many people have armed themselves under that false assumption. It's never going to be a race war. Never going to happen. But clearly, as long as these kinds of situations continue to occur, and it's almost as if you have to pull teeth, wisdom teeth at that, to get these people to be charged in what is clearly murder cases is not going to do anything to bring this nation together. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Phone lines open as always at 844-967-2789. You know, this occurs time and time again and is swept under the rug. But you can't continue down this path with a history like this nation has, and think it's going to continue and people are going to remain silent. It's just not. It's not a threat. That is just a sign of wisdom that people need to take adherence to. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.